On Wednesday's front page, the clandestine methods Hezbollah uses to finance its operations. There are signs top Hezbollah officials are involved in the drug trade. Texting, emailing, or talking on a cell phone while driving is simply too dangerous. Federal safety investigators want a ban on cell phones behind the wheel, except for emergencies. And we'll take a look at YouTube's recent redesign. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story looks at clandestine methods Hezbollah uses to finance its operations. It used a Lebanese bank as the hub of a global money laundering apparatus that moved huge amounts of money through the financial system despite sanctions from the West. Intelligence also points to the involvement of high-level Hezbollah officials in the drug trade. Hezbollah's financial needs have grown in recent years as it tried to rebuild from its 2006 war with Israel. Many experts say that probably means it's relying more and more on criminal operations. The National Transportation Safety Board is recommending that states prohibit drivers from using cell phones for talking or texting, except in emergencies. The recommended ban would apply to hands-free devices, which are permitted under most state laws. The NTSB recommendation came after it investigated a deadly accident in Missouri. It said the initial collision was caused by a 19-year-old pickup truck driver who sent or received 11 texts in the 11 minutes before the crash. NTSB Chairwoman Deborah Hirschman said drivers can't afford distractions. She said no call, no text, and no update is worth a life. Attorney General Eric Holder is weighing in on the partisan debate over race and voting restrictions. He's giving a speech in Texas assessing new state laws that critics say are intended to dampen minority participation. Times reporter Charlie Savage says Holder is signaling the Justice Department will take an aggressive stance in reviewing those laws. Holder is also making the case for overhauling voting methods, including automatically registering all eligible voters. Here in New York, the workers who make home visits to developmentally disabled people are paid $10 to $15 an hour. But the nonprofit organizations that hire them charge the state as much as $67 an hour. That has generated multi-million dollar surpluses at nonprofit agencies and big salaries for executives. It also helps explain why costs have shot up in recent years, creating the nation's most generous system of Medicaid-funded programs. Times reporter Russ Buettner says there's little attention to efficiency or results. Also on Wednesday's front page, email messages from 2008 appear to show that Rupert Murdoch's son James was told details of the phone hacking scandal at the News of the World tabloid. The emails were released by a parliamentary panel. James Murdoch says he opened the emails on his BlackBerry but didn't read them. He also says he doesn't remember discussing them with News of the World editor Colin Myler. James Murdoch and some former News International executives have engaged in a war of words over what he knew and when. The former executives say he was told in 2008 that the hacking was more than the work of a single rogue reporter. YouTube gave itself a makeover earlier this month. That unleashed anger and nostalgia on blogs and elsewhere on the web. Wednesday's Times says the redesign is an indication the party's over. YouTube is moving away from the days when it was largely an unregulated repository of funny cats and other weird and wonderful things. It's now more commercial and more predictable. Clearing away some of the user-driven underbrush will mean less exposure for amateur videographers and more for YouTube's corporate media partners. Television critic Mike Hale says wasting time at the office just won't be the same. Inside Wednesday's Times, the House defied a veto threat from President Obama and moved toward extending a cut in Social Security payroll taxes. House Republican leaders say that's important for job creation. Democrats in the Senate are expected to reject the bill. It contains other items they object to, including one that would speed construction of an oil pipeline from Canada to the Gulf Coast. All this sets the stage for House-Senate negotiations that are likely to run into the weekend. Former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky opted not to force his accusers to state their claims of child sex abuse in court. He waived a hearing moments before it was to begin. Then Sandusky's lawyer, Joseph Amendola, took the case to the courthouse steps. Times assistant sports editor Jason Stallman picks up the story there.
Amendola raised questions about the credibility of some of the prosecutor's witnesses. He claims that they're financially motivated. He also emphasized that he would not make a plea deal in this case.
Today's waiver has nothing to do with conceding anything. There have been no plea negotiations. There will be no plea negotiations. This is a fight to the death. This is the fight of Jerry Sandusky's life.
Mr. Amendola has already attracted quite a bit of criticism from throughout the country for his tactics in this case. Most prominently, his decision to put Sandusky before the national spotlight in interviews with the mainstream media, including an extensive one with the New York Times recently.
I didn't do those things.
The next step for his client appears to be January 11th, when Jerry Sandusky will be arraigned.
Times assistant sports editor Jason Stallman. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.